afternoon, Mr. Belichick.
Glenn.
Coach.
Teddy. Michael.
Glenn.
How we doing today, Coach?
Called you Glenn. Oh, God.
Doing all right. We've been better, but we're doing all right.
Yeah. When you get a game like that, which can be extremely frustrating, you obviously, you're only three games into the season. You're spending a lot of time going back over that game and the mistakes. Is it a little bit different than doing it in the latter part of the season? In that it, you know what I mean? That early on in the season, you're seeing stuff that hopefully you're not going to see come game 10, 11, 12. Do you view it differently?
Yeah, well, I think you really approach every game pretty much the same. After the game, you look at it, you reinforce the positive points, correct the mistakes, try to get better on a week-to-week basis. I don't really think you'd do it any differently in week two or week four or week six.
I want to go back to the final couple minutes of the game, Bill. I saw you being asked about this after the game, and they were asking about, who called the timeout? There was confusion over it. To me, it seemed pretty obvious. Were you trying to get the other were you trying to get back 8 seconds from the officials? Because at one point it was 151 when they initially scored a touchdown. Suddenly it's 143. Was that part of the dispute, trying to recapture the 8 seconds that you feel like ran off the clock?
No, not really. No, I was just trying to make sure that I had the situation right. And really, there was no explanation given on the call. I guess it was announced, but you can't hear anything in the stadium, whatever the announcement was that they made. So, I asked Carl to come over and explain what exactly they were doing. Were they starting the clock on the ready for play signal, or was the clock stopped? And he told me that, you're really not allowed out of the coach's box unless you're down there to call a timeout, which if I wanted to make sure the clock was going to be running, I was going to call a timeout. So, he was kind of motioning me back in the coach's box, but I was, wanting to get out and call a timeout to stop the clock immediately rather than let it run down the 25 seconds when he marked the ball ready to play before they ran their first play down there. So
you were you're trying to establish that the clock would be running, and if the clock is running,
I expected it to be running, but I just wanted to make sure that that's what they were going to do. And none of that was communicated after they reviewed the play to me. I mean, they might have announced it, but I couldn't hear anything.
Reason we thought it might be the 8 seconds is because they did not originally call the touchdown. Now, they had to call the touchdown. That clock would have stopped, I think, at 151 and maybe even more, that 153. By not calling it, obviously a running play, the clock is continuing. Now suddenly they change the decision about 10 seconds later, call it a touchdown, clock stops. And that's why we thought maybe you were trying to get that 8 seconds back. But it almost seems like they're going to call everything now, if it's close, a touchdown, because that's the way they can get it right by going to that video replay.
Yeah, that might be true, but we've seen plenty of plays that were close that weren't called a touchdown, and then you have to challenge them. If you're the offensive team, you feel like it is a touchdown, then you have to challenge it.
Bill, which
we got into that in preseason,
Bill, the situation of right there on the 10-yard line, I think it's McCourty about to make a tackle, and I'm watching that play and watching Freddie about to score, and shades of, I think it was Westbrook of the Eagles when he kneeled prior to the goal line to not score, so to run time off the clock. Teaching situation, is that almost a situation you can't teach because of a player and his competitiveness to make that tackle?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you've been in that situation before. You're just playing a play. You're trying to instinctively tackle a guy. And
right.
I'm not sure you really know exactly whether you're on the 10-yard line, a 5-yard line, or whatever. You're chasing the guy who's trying to score, and you're not really keeping track of the yard lines.
Yeah.
So I thought Devin made a good play. I mean, just to make the play, obviously in the end it would have been a little better for us probably if he'd scored than if he held on down on the one. But, I would never second guess, Devin on a play like that. I thought he was trying as hard as he could to make it. I respect that.
You make a play, get your hand in there, strip the ball, something like that. A lot of things can happen. I know the mind of the defender going through that. Just to make that play, it's still a possibility. Bill, I'm on that Chandler touchdown. I think you were up 21-10, or it was third quarter. You were up 21-10. It was third and goal, the Chandler touchdown, when Stevie Johnson on the offensive right side short motioned in to form the bunch. right, a little bunch with, I think it was Fred Jackson, another receiver. And it looked like there was some communication there between Mayo and the defensive backs, and Chandler looked wide open in the end zone. And that play looked familiar to me. So where I saw it before this year was a third preseason game in Detroit. It was the Aaron Brown touchdown, a similar formation, but Detroit used two tight ends on the offensive left side. It looked like Buffalo just flipped the formation. It looks like you're having a little bit of problems defensively communicating in the red area on that play, and it looked like a copycat play. Is that a traffic problem, a communication problem? What went on in those two instances?
Well, the Detroit play was, I think that was a little bit different. It was really a triple inside, you know, release off
okay.
of, it was, you know, as we refer to it, a box beater. This one, we just blew it. We made an adjustment, and obviously it wasn't coached well enough. It wasn't executed well enough on the field. So, you know, we left Chandler open, and that was, you know, that was a mistake, obviously. That was, you know, I mean, certainly coaching and playing and on the field adjusting, you know, all those were a part of that.
So the box beaters with the double ends in Detroit, but with the one in yesterday was the two outs, and then Chandler came back in.
Yeah, I think it was really they were just hooking up on the goal line. Okay. I don't think it was a big scheme play. They were just trying to place, which is kind of what Chandler did on the touchdown against, I want to say it was Kansas City, where they kind of stuffed it in there to him, where it was, you know, he just goes across the goal line, hooks up 6-7 guy, and they just, you know, try to jam it in there to him right there on the goal line. So it was a similar kind of play. It really wasn't the play. It was just, you know, we fouled it up on our end, and it was all of us.
You know what? I actually have a question for you and Teddy on this. This is for both of you. And going into yesterday's game, Vince Wilfork, just for example, was 15-0 versus Buffalo. And we've been around you long enough to know, you know, what the message you give to the team one game at a time. Don't get, you know, stay humble, you know, do your job. Is it difficult for you to get that message across when you have many guys in your locker room who have never lost to Buffalo? And for you, Teddy, being in that position, going a long time without losing to Buffalo, is it tough for you to maintain your focus and say, yeah, I know it's an opponent, we respect them, but we've kicked their ass, you know, pretty much, you know, for the last 5, 6, 7 years. It's just for you, or Teddy, you can take it first.
Well, I mean, you look at the previous games as, you know, you develop a little confidence, and when you have a little bit of a win streak going against a team, but when you're in that, and Coach Belichick does such a great job of during the week, I mean, just you suppress that type of success against one team, you know, that's just the mentality you have to try and have, and you try to maintain. I mean, we talked of a little bit earlier, Coach. I was joking about sometimes you feel like I related it to my relationship with my brother, my older brother, and when he used to beat up on me all the time. I mean, over and over again. But there comes a time when the little brother steps up and finally says, "Hey, that's enough." And we're equating that to that. Basically,
Teddy's still waiting for that moment.
Yeah, and that's basically what the Buffalo Bills did yesterday. But you know, I think what the conclusion that we came up with it was that I mean, this division just got a lot tougher because the Buffalo Bills. I mean, they came up, and I don't think you can consider them a little brother team anymore.
Yeah, well, I definitely don't think that there was any lack of respect or overconfidence going
right
into the game, and I think we came out and, you know, played you know, a pretty good level of football early in the game. You know, unfortunately, we just didn't make enough plays throughout the course of the game, and we had our chances, and we didn't capitalize on them in all three phases of the game, and so, you know, we had our turnovers, we gave up our plays on defense, we missed a couple opportunities in the kicking game that we could have had. And so the bottom line was they made more plays than we did. I don't think it was really any kind of question of overconfidence or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we were concerned or focused about what did or didn't happen in any of those games previously. You know, we saw what the most important thing is, what the team has done on film recently. And certainly when we look back to our first game with them last year here, the whatever it was an 8-point game, but you know, that was another very competitive game that, you know, had they gotten that onside kick and all that, it would have, you know, that would, you know, I mean, that could have been a last possession game too.
Well, you, and I don't want to just put it on any one side of the ball, because I think you're right. You could find fault with a lot of different groups with this team. But defensively, are you happy right now? Do you think that your defense is getting enough pressure on the quarterback? Or would you like to see a little bit more of that?
Well, I don't think anybody would want to ever not want to see pressure on the quarterback. I mean,
is there enough of it right now? Do you think I think
we rushed pretty well yesterday. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that it certainly could have been better. I mean, everything could have been better, but I didn't think that was a major problem in the game, no.
You certainly had a quarterback that can unload the ball very, very quickly.
That guy's not going to take a lot of sacks. He's not going to take 8 sacks. But I thought we hit him. I thought that we forced the ball out on time a number of times, and I think he had to hurry his throws a number of times. But, you know, were there other times we could have more pressure on him? Yeah, sure. But
When you have a quarterback like that that gets rid of it quickly, I mean, you saw Darius when he had no rush. He had no rush, and he just sort of jumped up and tried to get in the passing lane with his arm and hit the ball off his helmet, and then, of course, the interception. But the defensive line, is it still a point of emphasis to where you get there, great, get the pressure on the quarterback, or ball disruption, mirror the quarterback's hands? Just talk about what you tell your defensive lineman, possibly when you're going up against a quarterback, not like a Manning release, but, I mean, Fitzpatrick, you can have a free run and still not get there.
Oh, yeah, we had plenty of them. And, yeah, and so, sure, you definitely want to have an awareness of when he's, you know, looking at you and you're rushing the quarterback, that you try to disrupt the passing lane and tip balls, and we've had some of those against him in the past. We didn't, you know, we got one yesterday. I think it was on a screen pass. They ended up catching it anyway. But yeah, that's definitely something that you want to try to do, is to, if you can't get to the quarterback, is to try to disrupt the passing lane that he's throwing the ball into. No question.
It was really interesting yesterday to see Gronkowski out there. Gronkowski made a lot of plays early in the game, but the bottom line is he was your only pure tight end that you had on your roster. How does that affect your offense when you're going in when you got one tight end to deal with or to maneuver with?
Well, yeah, that's certainly limits you in some ways, you know, but that's what we had. So,
and the decision, now you going into that game, Dan Gronkowski was on the roster, and then you release him and you have Rob. What was the decision there? Okay, yeah, we don't want to have one tight end, but it's more important to take care of another position based on the opponent. I mean, what was the reasoning there?
Yeah, well, I'd say, you know, given the situation we had last week, there was a number of issues at a number of positions that we felt like we had to deal with, and so we, you know, tried to manage those the best we could.
Bill, Sunday, the Oakland Raiders, a little bit different team, I guess, than what we saw yesterday, a team that prides itself on running, and McFadden with 171 yards in that game yesterday. Very physical. What problems does he offer you guys?
Well, he's a terrific back. Strong runner, very fast. Can really attack you. I mean, everybody's at the point of attack. No matter where the play starts, he can bounce it or cut it out or take the ball anywhere, really. So tackling will be a big issue. You know, trying to give him as little space as possible to work with will be a major emphasis point. But, you know, Bush is an excellent back, too. So, I mean, they got good backs. They got a big offensive line. And they throw it down the field. So, you know, they're a good football team.
Bill, how do you prepare your team to shift gears? I mean, especially defensively. You go from Fitzpatrick and multiple wide receiver sets to a team now in Oakland now that wants to run the toss, wants to run the zone type of runs. I mean, practice-wise, I mean, you got to shift gears from playing a fast break football team to a power running team.
Yeah. Well, really, it's 3 weeks in a row we had of that. You know, we're playing on really 3-4 receiver sets
right. Most
of the game, and looks like this game will have a little different element to that.
Did you have any taste of that in the preseason from any of the opponents?
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, Jacksonville,
right.
The Giants,
right,
to a degree. But, yeah, this, you know, this game is certainly on paper, you know, shapes up to be a little bit of a different, you know, different points of emphasis than what we've seen in the last few weeks. But you know, the Raiders love to run the ball. They, like I said, they have two good backs. They got a big offensive line, and they're patient. They stay with it. So, you know, we'll have to do a good job on not only playing our run techniques, but of tackling.
Yeah, they bring in a little unbalance with Barksdale, too. I mean, just another offensive tackle at tight end.
A lot unbalanced. They like that. You know, a lot of that was with Boss out, so we'll see how much they do. You know, if Boss is back, But yeah, they like the extra offensive lineman in there too.
It's been a long time since you guys played them. A few years, I think it was 2008. You played them, and we always think of the Raiders, and they're always a big team, a fast team. But they got a new head coach this year. Is there a big difference with what Hugh, from what you can see, what Hugh Jackson is running, from what Tom Cable was doing with that team?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I think that, that Hugh certainly put his stamp on the team. It seems like they're, you know, they certainly keep you off balance a little bit more. They run a couple reverses every game. They throw the ball. Not that they didn't throw it down the field before, but it seems like they definitely are gonna throw it down the field. So that they just, I think the thing that they really try to do is they force you to defend from sideline to sideline. And from the goal line, or from the line of scrimmage to the goal line, they're gonna throw deep.
Yeah.
They're gonna run some reverses. They're gonna toss the ball and get it outside. They're gonna run up the middle, and you've really got to be able to defend the entire field. They're not just an inside passing team or an inside running team or an outside running team. They do everything, and they keep you honest. So you've got like I said, everybody's really at the point of attack. You know, on every play, everybody could be vulnerable to getting hit. So we really got to be alert and defend, you know, the entire width and vertically the depth of the field.
Yeah, it didn't take them long versus the Jets to go down the field. That Raiders deep ball, I mean, it was first play was one throw to McFadden. Second play was a quick screen. Third play, they went deep. So yeah. They challenged deep.
Quarterback's athletic. So he, even though he's in the pocket, he's capable of being out of the pocket and chasing him around. So they, like I said, they give you a lot of things that you have to prepare for and defend, not just say, well, they can do this, they can do that. They actually, they are going to do it all. And like you said, Teddy, they're going to do it pretty quickly. You know, they're going to give you a run. They're going to give you a screen. They're going to give you a deep ball. They're going to give you a reverse. They hit Buffalo on a double reverse for, a long run 2 weeks ago. So they're not afraid to take some chances and do a few thing. I mean, even in the game with the Jets, you know, they had a chance there to kind of run out the clock at the end of the game and, you know, toss one up in the end zone with 2 minutes to go with, you know, a 7-point lead and kicked a, whatever it was, 48-yard field goal, you know, to make it a 10-point game. So they're aggressive.
Yeah, and Hugh Jackson is talked about instilling that bully mentality. He's talked about the words that he uses is being the bully on the block and not getting pushed around anymore. And if I remember correctly, there was one player around here and that's now there who really had that bully mentality, and that was Richard Seymour. I mean, talk about seeing Richard Seymour again along that defensive front. Him, Tommy Kelly, a lot of solid players.
Yeah, Shaughnessy, they've got a very good defensive front, and they roll those guys in there. They've got about, you know, seven or eight guys they play regularly, and they keep rolling them through there. And Richard, we've seen him, and he's, you know, long and athletic, plays with good power, can rush a passer, so. You know, he does all the things that we've seen him do, and he's got a lot of good players with him there, and they're a very physical team. You know, he's part of that.
I can't count the times, how many times Richard Seymour got into it with Logan Mankins at practice. I mean, that's just the way it was. I mean, can you imagine seeing that type of beef go at each other
on
the practice
field?
That whole mentality, that thing that Hugh Jackson's trying to instill over there, they've got the right guy because – I mean, Richard didn't care when it was. I mean, he hit a guy in the face, whether it's Logan or Roethlisberger walking by him and saying a couple of things that he didn't like, and he's dropping somebody.
I got to believe this is one of those that you say, this is going to be a physical football game, old-school physical football game.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Yeah. Hey, were you happy with the NFL films and what they did with the two-part special? It certainly get big ratings.
Well, I think the NFL Films does a great job with their presentation of the game, and I know all the things that I watch them do. I enjoy them. I think they do, you know, many different feature things, and I've always enjoyed all of them. So, they took what they had to work with, I think they did a nice job of presenting it. Yeah.
How about you? In the end, did you enjoy the fact that people got to see the other side of you? Now, you could have paid somebody off to keep the pirate picture out of there.
That might have been a good idea.
Yeah, that might have helped.
We have that picture down here.
Yeah, we got it right. They got the pirate picture.
Yeah.
But the fact that people did get to see the other side of you, you know what happens. People are constantly saying, what's Bill like on the other side? He's got to be different than what we see. Obviously, you're going up there to the podium as the coach, protective of your team. they did get to see some other things, some other qualities of you. Do you think that in the end that's probably a good thing?
It's fine. I mean, it's fine. That wasn't really the point of it.
But I thought it was great, Bill.
It was great. It was terrific.
I mean, people to see you, I mean, Bill, you're getting a little up there now, all right? You're getting up there. You've been coaching around, I mean, 30, 35 years. It's getting up there for them to see
longer
the other part of Bill about the stuff that he does behind the scenes and how, I mean, not, I mean, he's never been characterized as a player's coach, but still, I mean, going to the Halloween party, things like that, putting old rocking chairs in the linebacker rooms because you're getting over 30 years old, you know, the things like that is what happens in this facility. I'm glad a lot of America got to see that.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
No, I think that was great. That part of it I thought was great. And we got a lot of calls of people talking about it last week and seeing a different side of it. Now you can close the curtain again and, you know, just be that coach again. But I thought for a glimpse, I thought it was great.
Well, you just said something pretty interesting. You said when he said people get a chance to see another side of you, and you said that really wasn't the point. From your perspective, what was the point of doing it? What did you want to get out of it?
I wasn't really looking to get anything out of it. The NFL Films came to the organization and asked about, you know, capturing the 2009 season, which was the Patriots' 50th season. It was also my 35th year. Obviously, it was also the year Tom came back, you know, after the 08 injury. So there were some stars in alignment there, and we talked about it as an organization and you know, made sure that they wouldn't compromise anything in terms of, you know, confidentiality of, you know, plays and just, you know, that, those kind of things, you know, that were specific, very specific, and would just, you know, document what happened kind of during the season. They were, of course, allowed in meetings and, you know, things like that. They were very unobtrusive. Didn't even really know where the cameras were. They were hidden and all that. So most of the time. And then, you know, obviously they asked if they could do a couple things with me at home in Annapolis and in Nantucket and, you know, that kind of thing. So, but that was, you know, kind of off-season-ish or bye week, those kind of things. So it really wasn't anything during the season. We just, you know, gave them the opportunity to get some footage, and then they decided what to do with it. There wasn't a big plan that there was going to be this or going to be that. And actually, it turned out to come out like 2 years later, right?
Yeah, 2 years later.
So, yeah, so.
Was that the plan, 2 years later, to give it some separation?
No, there really was no plan.
Oh, really?
It was just, you know, we're going to capture this and then figure out what to do with it. So that's one of the things that came out of it.
The golf shot out of the sand. Did you make that?
Yeah.
That wasn't a trick shot?
Trick photography.
No, the shot, and then I made the putt.
Okay.
Yeah, I made the putt, yeah.
But when you caught the fish, they really...
That was a tough hole, too.
It's a bad lie. Right?
When you brought in the fish, did they actually hook a fish out there on the hook for you?
No, they didn't do that.
You actually caught one? It was great stuff. Have a great week. Have a good trip out there to Oakland. We'll see you back here next week.
All right, great. Sounds
right?
good.
See you later, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks,
Bill Belichick, right here on Patriots Monday in the Big Show. Quick break, and we're right back at you.